Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. All right, Floyd, the biggest question to start the offseason for the Nashville Predators. Now, we all know the expansion draft is upcoming, which means they'll have to submit their list Saturday. The list becomes public on Sunday, and then next week they'll have the expansion draft, and they'll either work out a deal with Vegas or they'll take the one player away. But I think the number one thing immediately after the game that everybody was wondering and thinking about was the future for Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher is 37 years old. He is an unrestricted free agent, which means technically he can go anywhere, although I think at this point in his career and life, it's probably Nashville or bust. I think the Predators want him back. I'm not certain. They have Ryan Johansson, Callie Yarncroke, Colton Sissons, Freddie Gaudreau, Vladislav Kamenev all playing the center position, so it's not as if they don't have centers, but I think they want their captain back. But he's going to be 37, and Fisher's not sure what he's going to do. He was asked about it after the game. On NBC Sports Network. Here's what he said.
And Mike, being this close to you, I can't help but notice the depth of emotions I'm sure you've been feeling the last 20 minutes. How much of that has to do with, at this stage of your career, some of the unknowns that are coming up for you?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you never know when you're going to get another chance or what the future is going to hold, but we'll see. Put a lot of thought and prayer into what's next, and we'll see what the Lord wants. So
Mike Fisher is going to think about it. He doesn't know yet. What do we think's next for Mike Fisher? I mean, do you think he's made up his mind? Do you think he knows where he's going? What? Because to me, I feel like you get so close. You get so close to winning the cup. Don't you want to take another shot at it?
Yeah, I don't. To be honest, I mean, I don't know Mike. Mike certainly doesn't know me, so I don't. You know, I just listen to the man, and I think he really is. This is a heck of a decision for him, and I think he's. You know, you don't want to quit doing something you've been doing for, you know, 20 years or however long he's been playing, and. Yet you don't want to be a burden. You know, I think you're in a position where you're a leader now, and he knows how important that is, and it's hard to give that up. And your team, you've gotten to the point where your team is playing really, really good. And given all that, you know, you've got a two-year-old son that you want to be a great father to, and you've got a wife that is very, very busy and on the road and has a tremendous career of her own. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there, you know? I mean, that's tough.
It's interesting that you brought that up, because Mike Milbury brought the same type of thing up when discussing Mike Fisher. And look, that's the giant elephant in the room. See, because I don't think any of this is about Carrie Underwood. I don't. But everybody, of course, when you talk about Mike Fisher and his future, they think about Carrie Underwood, and they kind of think about it in the same way you just said it and the way that Mike Milbury said it on the NBC Sports broadcast after the game.
He's in a different position probably than anybody's ever been with a superstar singer wife and Carrie Underwood. And obviously, they're, you know, he doesn't need to go out and play another season. And it's with two careers that are so demanding in terms of time and travel. You know, he's going to have to a lot to consider. But when he looks back on this, as Paul asked, this is the closest he's ever come to winning a Stanley Cup.
See, I think Carrie Underwood is an absolute non-factor in the decision that Mike Fisher makes. Now, it's not that, like, she won't be consulted, because obviously when they go over their decision, she's going to be a part of it. They're probably talking about it every day. But I don't think Carrie Underwood and her schedule and the fact that she's always on the road and she's always – I don't think that affects Mike Fisher in making his decision for next year, because he's going to be – look, if he comes back, he's only coming back for 1 year. He's not – they're not going to sign him to a five-year contract. So he'll be 38. You'll have the whole rest of your life to live with Carrie Underwood and her schedule on the road and all of that. This is 1 year, one last crack at the cup. You were two games away from winning it here. You've never won the Stanley Cup. And of all the things you can do in your life, I've seen Jerry Jones on Hard Knocks went to the Dallas Cowboys on the first day and said, I have money to do anything in the world that I want to do this morning, and I want to be here with the Cowboys. Because you can't buy the Super Bowl. You can't buy the Stanley Cup. So you're two games away. You take one last crack at it, then go be a dad and be a husband the whole rest of the time. And he's already those things now. But so to me, I don't think Carrie Underwood's schedule has anything to do with the decision that Mike makes.
I think it has this to do with it. She's gone all the time. If he's playing sports all the time, who's watching the youngster?
Clearly, they probably have a nanny system in place.
And I think that's probably part of the problem. You know, his decision is he's going to be three or four or however old he's going to be. You know, am I willing to have my son stay with a nanny, you know, for another however many months while I'm playing sports? Or is it time for me to be a dad? And I think that's the rub there. It's not so much, I agree with you. I mean, Carrie Underwood has a tremendous career, and she's going to continue her career just like we all would. But the stay-at-home mom doesn't exist. And so you're saying, you know, well, is that my job?
What if Carrie limits her tour scheduling for 1 year? Mike says, hey, I'm coming back for 1 year. So Carrie limits her tour schedule, and she is the mom. I mean, I have no idea how they raise their kids. So
I don't know either.
But I don't think it's such a concession that, you know, they've had their kid for the last 2 years and Mike has played. If it was so important then that Mike get off the ice and not play to stay at home with the kid, then he would have done it when the kid was born.
Well,
instead he re-signed for 2 years.
Yeah,
so
but when you got a 6-month-old kid, I mean, I'm not sure it has the same impact on him as a person as it does when he's three or four or however old.
Well, when he's four, Mike will be done. If Mike does one more year, when he's four, Mike will be done.
Right.
So I don't think the family stuff, and I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't think the family stuff has an impact on Mike Fisher. I think what has an impact on Mike Fisher is whether or not he wants, from a physicality standpoint, to put his body through what he did the last couple of years at age 37. Or maybe, and you know, we see this from time to time, D-Mace has talked about this. When D-Mace hung it up, he was done. He just didn't want to play football anymore. And I don't think Fisher doesn't want to play hockey anymore, but maybe Mike looks at it and says, you know, all the training that it takes to have my body physically at this point to where I can play, and it's just not worth it anymore. That could be a possibility, but I don't know. The vibe I get from him is he wanted to win that cup, and he enjoys being captain of this team, and I think he takes a lot of pride in being captain of this team. I think he's going to give it one more shot.
Well, the hard part is, now, this is just a gut feeling. He is not going to want to be in a big hurry to make a decision. And yet, for David's sake, David Poyle's sake, he needs to have a decision. Because I'm going to guess that it would certainly affect what you do in this upcoming expansion draft. And, I mean, you know, you need a commitment for him to say, yes, I'm going to play, or no, I'm not. And he may not be able to give you that.
I actually don't think he does matter for the expansion draft. Because if he comes back, he's your third or fourth line center, probably your fourth line center. I mean, Yarncroke and Johansson are your one and two, and I would think Sissons has proven enough to be the three, or the Kamenev kid that they love so much would be at that one of those spots. So,
but if he's not there, you don't want to lose another center. You don't want to lose two centers in the offseason. You don't want to lose him and Sissons, is my point.
Yeah, I guess. And then the question is, who's going to be the captain if Mike Fisher's not the captain? Because
I don't know.
That's another decision to make. We saw last year how much it had an effect on them when Shea Weber left, and it was
turmoil.
You know, oh my God, we've got to replace all this leadership, and what are we going to? And it took them half the year to do it. So now if you take Mike Fisher out of the mix and you make Ellis or Yossi the captain, what kind of effect does that have on the team and on the locker room? It's all there. The one thing that I feel in my heart that I think I know, and I could be wrong, I don't think Carrie Underwood's career and that situation will be why Mike Fisher comes back or doesn't. That's the one thing I feel like I can put into the ground and I can say okay for. With that being said, we have breaking Predators news to get to. Ian, if I could get just a little bit of that breaking news sounder, thank you. The Nashville Predators have re-signed defenseman Yannick Weber for a one-year deal at $650,000. Yannick Weber will return, which now means the Predators have all six of their defensemen under contract for next year. Yannick Weber, 1 year and $650,000. Floyd, what do you think of that?
Good. Cool.
That's my take. Whatever.
I think that was probably a pretty easy signing.
I would not have signed Yannick Weber for $651,000. If he had said, yeah, you know, like in Price is Right, when someone's like, $1, Bob. Yeah, like if he had wanted $1 more, no. But $650,000, you know, there will be guys in camp that will try to take that spot. If they're any good, they probably should take that spot. I'm not a huge Yannick Weber fan. You all know that. I think he made a humongous mistake that cost you game, that did not cost you game five, but that hurt you in game five. And, you know, you guys can have Yannick Weber. 615-737-1025. My big question is, what is next for Mike Fisher? You know, what is next for him? And the other question, too, that we're going to get into is, do they need Mike Fisher next year? Not what does Mike do, because obviously this is Mike's decision, but do they need him? 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. It's Jared the GM right here on ESPN 1025. The game.
Yeah, we're a first team to do a lot of things in the playoffs, and it's disappointing, no question, but you know what? We got a lot to be proud of. The way the city came behind us and the run, and, you know, we were just feel fortunate to be part of this group and part of this city and to have the support we did.
That was Mike Fisher after the game. Boy, that's depressing. Hey, Mike, would you like to go talk to the cameras right after losing the Stanley Cup final of what might be your last game ever? But he put on the face, and you heard right there about how important it was for him and the city to be able to do that. And he said be a part of it. Well, he was the team captain. And you brought up something in the last hour when we were talking about how you sustain greatness in sports. And you brought up the fact that it's about the guys in the locker room. And it's about the Tom Brady's and the Ray Lewis's. And it's the Mike Fisher is the captain of the Nashville Predators. Now, he did not have a goal in the playoffs, and I think he was minus five. But he is the captain of the Nashville Predators. He, from all accounts, seems like a great locker room guy. When they made the Stanley Cup final, David Poyle was just waxing poetically about Mike Fisher and what he brings to the table from a leadership standpoint. So here's my question. We know Mike is going to be the one that makes the decision as to whether or not he comes back for another season at age 37. My question to you is, do the Nashville Predators need Mike Fisher to come back?
Well, I think from the leadership standpoint, I would say yes. We lost a great leader last year, and I think you saw how long it was for us to adjust to that. To lose another great leader back to back. You know, how long does it take to adjust to that? And then who's the next captain? You know, I don't know the answer to that, but. I mean, between these last two guys, whoever fills those net gets the C on the jersey the next time around, he's got to be a stud now. I mean, it can't be just another run-of-the-mill guy. And I think everybody knows that. And if you are, in fact, you know, just an okay guy or a nice guy or a good player or anything other than a complete captain, I mean, you're going to be frowned upon.
Let me tell you this. They need Mike Fisher back. If I'm David Poyle, I'm calling him saying, Mike, I know you're going to think about it and it's your decision, but we need you back. If I'm David Poyle, that's what I'm saying. You need him back. Mike Fisher has got to be back. And I've got like 10 reasons why they need Mike Fisher back. First and foremost, you know the locker room can work with him as the captain. If he's not the captain, okay, let's say he leaves and they name either Yossi or Ellis the captain, because I doubt they would name James Neal the captain because James Neal's got 1 year left on his contract. It's probably Yossi or Ellis, both of whom are already part of your leadership group to begin with. Let's say you pick Ellis, right? How's Yossi going to feel about that? How's PK going to feel about that? Well, what if you pick Yossi? How's Ellis going to feel about that? Will they get over it? I don't know. Maybe. They might. But I know right now everybody's okay with Mike Fisher as captain. And I know they can get to the cup with Mike Fisher as captain. Look, there was a point in this season where I looked at Mike Fisher and I said, I don't know if this guy's getting it done as team captain. And then all of a sudden, after that, you just see the turnaround that that team made. And you watch about how everybody in those first couple rounds, they were all saying the same stuff. They were all toting the rope in the same direction. They were all going for the same goal. And yes, some of that, a lot of that's the coach. But you can't tell me that Mike Fisher was not a part of that and a big reason why. So that's number one. Number two, he's pretty good. Like, even at his age, and he's not the scoring threat that he was before, but he is a really good defensive player. He's a good two-way forward. He can win faceoffs for you. He's good, and you need good players. And if the choice is having a good player or not having a good player, I'll take the having a good player. I think we would all agree on that.
No doubt.
Third, that's a lot for your roster to overgo in a couple of years. You pull out Shea Weber, and then you pull out Mike Fisher. So now your core group that you've had for the last 5-6 years is now really just Pecorine. And I don't know if they're ready for that yet. You know, I don't know if the Yossis and the Ellises and the Forsbergs and the Johansons, if they're entrenched enough to have those type of foundational players just pulled out. So that's the third reason. The fourth reason, he plays center, which has always been a position of need for this club. Even going back to last week, it was a position of need for this club. And there's a good chance that Callie Yarncroke or Colton Sissons will be a Las Vegas Golden Knight next year, and that opens up that spot that you need. So to me, they need Mike Fisher back. I don't know if he's going to come back. I don't know if he wants to come back. I don't know how his body feels. I don't know about any of those things. But they need him back.
I keep wondering if maybe last year when they made him captain, if Peter and David didn't get some kind of an indirect commitment to more than 1 year.
Maybe. But here's why I wouldn't want that if I was Peter or David. Because what if Mike Fisher had gone out this year and not been very good? You know, like from a player standpoint. Then are you obligated to resign him because you've told him you want him to be the captain for X amount of years in the future?
Would you cut your captain?
You traded your captain.
You trading and cutting are different things.
you cannot resign your captain. Like St. Louis didn't resign David Backes, and he left and went to Boston. I mean, you cannot resign him, which is what would have happened if Mike Fisher was no good. I don't know, and I don't even know if you're allowed to make deals like that or get assurances like that when the guy's not under contract in the future. I have no idea what the rules state about those type of things. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But I will say this. If he had given Peter and David an assurance that he would come back, then why is he talking to NBC after the game saying he's going to pray about it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In my mind, two things pop into my head when you talk like that, which is one, why would you have named him captain if you know he was only going to be there a year after you just lost a guy?
Who else would you have named captain?
And two, if you name somebody else as captain, which could be the scenario you're in now, then like you said before, what does it do to the locker room? Is there anybody else that stands up and about and is out there and you say, well, Pekka. Okay, well, let's say you give it to Pekka, and maybe he's the guy that deserves it.
You can't give it to the goalie. You can't give it to the goalie.
You can't?
No.
Is that like against the rules or
yes.
something? Is it really?
Yeah, they gave it to Roberto Luongo, I think, in Vancouver, and they said no more of that.
Who makes that rule?
The league.
It's the dumbest rule I've ever heard, and I've heard some pretty dumb ones.
Those are the rules.
Okay.
So.
Well, then you're going to give it to somebody else, whoever you give it to. I mean, it sounds to me like there's going to be part of that room that's not thrilled.
Well, I wonder about that because to me, my guess would be that they would give it to Ryan Ellis. I don't know if that's who they'd give it to, but he seems to be – doesn't Ellis seem to be the guy that kind of, talks the most and says the most after – remember after a regular season game, Ellis came out and said, we didn't deserve to win that game because we didn't play with enough effort and they out-efforted us, and he was really upset, and that seemed like something a team leader would say. Ellis or Yossi are probably the two guys. I feel much better this year about Ellis being the team captain than I would have this time last year, but you're right. I mean – how much does it affect your locker room if Mike Fisher's out? That's why I'm saying they've got to keep him. They have got to keep Mike Fisher next year. They have got to call Mike Fisher and say, hey, Mike, is there any way? Is there any way that you can come back? Because to me, what he represents for this team, what he brings to this group, is so much more than what he gives you in the stat sheet. And I don't like loading your roster with those kind of guys, because then what you end up with is, you know, bad players that don't produce. Mike's better than that, but it's the other things, the intangibles that Mike Fisher, I think, has given this group, or that he kind of represents, that I see in this group that I think they need. And I think it's important. I think it's important to the community, because he is a community guy. He is as Nashville as they get. And I think it's important for, you know, we talk about the youth of this team. Well, last year, 2 years ago, Yossi was young. Ellis was young. Ekholm was young. Those guys were young. Forsberg and Johansson were young. In 2 years, like this time next year after the season, Johansson won't be young anymore. Forsberg won't be young anymore. Yossi's not young anymore. Those guys are now legitimate NHL veterans. And so from that regard, or I guess in that case, I would say then you would be ready to pass the torch. I'm not sure they're ready to do that right now. So that's my thing. They need Mike Fisher to stay. Mike, if you're listening, and I know someone that knows you's listening.
She's on tour.
Well, she, I, you know, I'm not here to say who listens to our show and who doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Mike, they need you back. They need you, Mike. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next. Okay, I think it's the biggest question of the offseason for the Predators. I really do. And everybody's going to hate it. I already know. But I think it's the most important question. And no one wants to talk about it. And we got to. Next, Jared the GM, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. It's right here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Okay, to me, it's the biggest question of the Nashville Predators offseason, and nobody wants to talk about it. And yet, you're hearing, like, fans are tweeting us questions about the Predators offseason, and, well, what about the expansion draft? I don't actually think the expansion draft is that big of a deal for the Predators. I guess I'll get into that later, because you're going to lose either Yarncroke or Sissons unless you make a trade. But everybody's thinking about that, or free agency, or Fisher, or, to me, the biggest question for the Nashville Predators offseason is, what do you think about Victor Arvidsson? What do you really think? You're David Poile. What do you really think about Victor Arvidsson? Because they've got a handful of restricted free agents. Austin Watson's a restricted free agent. Ryan Johansson's a restricted free agent. And Victor Arvidsson's a restricted free agent. So what that means is, and we saw this with the Shea Weber contract, is if, let's say, I don't know, Dallas offers Victor Arvidsson $8 million a year for 5 years, well, then they can have Victor Arvidsson for $8 million. But if they offer him $2 million and he signs that contract, then the Predators can match that $2 million, and I think they'd do it. The reason Arvidsson, in my mind, is the biggest question is, look, Johansson's going to get a deal. We saw Forsberg last year sign the six-year, $6 million per year contract. I think you're going to see Johansson get a similar type of deal. A long-term deal worth a lot of money, $6, $7 million a pop. But everybody understands that. Johansson's a top-line center. He was drafted top five. He's big. He's fast. He puts up numbers. I mean, he is the definition of that type of player. Arvidsson, meanwhile, has only been a first-line player for 1 year. And in that 1 year, he scored 31 goals. Last year, when he was back and forth between Milwaukee and Nashville, he scored 8 goals. So the question is Victor Arvidsson a 30-goal scorer? Is he a front-line player? Because Victor Arvidsson is going to want to be paid like a front-line player. And I love his hustle. I love his attitude. I think he's a good player. All of those things. But you know where I really love it, Floyd?
Where?
At $600,000 a year. Unfortunately for you.
He ain't going to get that now.
He ain't going to be $600,000 a year next year. And that's why I think this is a much bigger question than everybody else is making it out to be. Because if I'm Arvidsson right now, I score 31 goals. I'm on the first line of the Western Conference champion. Why don't I get $5 million a year? Forsberg just signed for $6 million a year. Why am I not worth five? Why am I not worth that type of contract? And if you're David Poile, you're okay with paying Arvidsson $4 million a year or $3.5 million a year if he's going to score you 31 goals every season. But is he going to score you 31 goals every season? Is he going to be, what was it, like plus 16 during the regular season, or is he going to be minus 10 like he was in the Stanley Cup final? There's a whole lot of talk about Arvidsson, or a lot of thought that you have to put in. What if one team out there thinks Arvidsson is the best player they've ever seen? There's a team that says, man, if we could just get Arvidsson, and they offer you two first-round picks in a second, do you not listen to that call? So I think there's a lot of thought to have with Arvidsson, and nobody else is talking about it. And I think there's a lot of different layers to what they end up doing with him, because I think he's a great guy to have around. He's a good player. I love his hustle, love his energy. But at $5 million a year or whatever you're going to pay him, you got to love the production too.
Well, I mean, this is ultimately going to become a hockey question. And the hockey guys are going to have to determine whether or not he is. And they're going to say, well, geez, you'd like to have another year. You're like, yeah, but, you know, maybe you can and maybe you can't. I mean, maybe he gets offered a deal we could easily live with, and maybe he doesn't. So, you know, maybe he's willing to, maybe you can structure the deal so that it's something that everybody can live with. I mean, you just don't know those things. But I think ultimately you have to determine whether or not he is a, you know, $2 million guy or a $4 million guy. That's the question.
And see, the thing is 2 years ago, you ran into this exact same situation. Colin Wilson had a 20-goal, 20-assist year. Craig Smith had a huge year. And you're paying them 4.2 for Craig Smith and 3.9 for Colin Wilson. And Floyd, is Colin Wilson worth $3.9 million?
I don't think so.
Is Craig Smith worth $4.2 million?
I don't think
so. Okay. And that's fine right now because they've only got two more years left on their deal. And you hope Vegas takes one of them. But the truth is the Smith and Wilson deals have not worked out. It hasn't killed you because you're not up against the salary cap. But if you're going to give Johansson a huge contract and you're going to give Forsberg the contract you gave him, plus eventually you're going to have to pay Yossi again, you're going to have to pay Ellis and Ekholm, and you're already giving PK $9 million a year. So now all of a sudden you're going to get to that cap pretty quickly. Especially if you're handing out contracts to guys at $5 million a year and they don't produce. And I think Arvidsson is a totally different situation from Wilson and Smith. But you just have to be cautious of the one-hit wonder. And that's where you said it's the hockey guy question. It's, does David Poile think he's worth X amount of dollars a year? And if he's not, then you have to let him go. You have to be okay with it. You cannot put yourself in a position where you can't move a guy because their contract is too big and it holds you down. Unfortunately, I think you're living proof of what happens when too many guys get good all at the same time, and then all of a sudden you got to figure something out. And unlike your cap in the NFL where you can cut guys, in hockey it's a hard cap now. You sign and screw up, you're in trouble. So there's a lot to be thought about Arvidsson. Now, Willie Donick in 3D, they were talking about this yesterday. Willie seems convinced that Arvidsson is what he was this year.
They will get something done with Johansson and Arvidsson.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you have any hesitation or any reservation about any part of Victor Arvidsson's game moving forward for a long time?
No.
Like nothing he needs to get better at, nothing that would help him, nothing that you have a little bit of a hesitation and like I'm not sure he can change that, anything?
His height?
Well, okay, that's something he can't change.
But, I mean, he's been hearing that his whole life, right?
Well, so was Ryan Ellis and other guys. But, you know,
I just don't think he's a flash in the pan. I think Victor Arvidsson is a cornerstone guy. He has moved up. And 1 year ago, would we have said that? Heck no.
No.
But in 1 year, has he sold me? I'm sold.
See, I totally understand Willie's point there. But that 1 year is what scares me. You know, if this were 2 years, I could see it. You know, Forsberg had 3 years of success, was a top 10 pick in the draft. He kind of had that history going into it. He was an all-star before you signed him. Johansson has been the MVP of the all-star game, was a top 5 pick in the draft, has the size, has the speed, has the... You're going to pay him, I get that. Arvidsson has none of that. And that's where I'm a little nervous about that 1 year, 31 goals, and now the league knows who he is, and they know about him, and he was a non-factor, you know, scoring goals in the playoffs. I think that's the biggest question for David Poile is, what do you think of him? What do you really believe his value is? What do you think his value to your team is? And then the other side of it is, if you decide that he is outplaying what he really is, what can you get for him now if you sell high?
Well, this is a tough scenario. I mean, I'm going to guess David's already got his mind made up and is progressing whichever way he's gonna go. But in college, in football, this happens all the time. You know, you get a redshirt sophomore that doesn't play much, and all of a sudden he's a junior and he's starting and he has 22 sacks and he comes out. Okay, you're going to use a top five pick on a guy that's, you know, played 11 games?
Mitchell Trubisky?
It happens all the time. So, I mean, that's the tough part about it, but that's, you know, as we used to say, that's what you get paid. That's a decision you get paid to make.
And that's why David Poile's got to know him better than anybody else. The key to, and you would know this as a GM, but it's you got to know your own roster as much as you know everybody else's roster.
Yeah, better.
I mean, is like the guy that Arvidsson could be, though, is D-Mace. You know, remember when D-Mace, when you guys had him, he was your, fifth receiver and kick returner and punt returner, and all of a sudden, Yancey Thigpen gets hurt and Kevin Dyson gets hurt and Carl Pickens sucks, and next thing you know, D-Mace is putting up Pro Bowl caliber numbers and turns out to be a great player and the best wide receiver in the history of the franchise and the history of the Ravens franchise. So, you know, maybe he is that good. I don't know. David's got to be the one to know that. And that's where now the rubber is meeting the road on Arvidsson.
Well, because you can't afford to sign him and you know, have his most productive year be 11 goals. And you can't afford to not sign him and have him score 30 for the next 8 years running.
Yeah, you can't be giving away 30 goal scorers out of your farm system.
You know, it's a mistake you can't make, and David knows that better than anybody.
So we'll take your calls on Arvidsson. I think this is the biggest question of the offseason for the Preds. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Adam is up next on Arvidsson. Thank you for calling. What's up, Adam?
All right, so, Jared, I listen and call daily, so don't ruin our relationship and hang up on me. I'll just have to give you that disclaimer because I feel like you're going to do it. So I'm going to tell you something about yourself, and this is something that's a self-help. It's something that's going to help you. You don't see it, but you did it with Chip Kelly, and you did it with Pittsburgh, and now you're doing it with Arvidsson. You do this thing where you obsess so hard over not necessarily people that aren't good, because I think Arvy's really good, but you were so infatuated with Chip Kelly, and you were so infatuated with how good Pittsburgh's offense was, and I'm hearing the exact same tone in your voice and the way you're presenting Arvy to me, which he was just asking, what could Arvy have done better? He could have helped us get a goal past Matt Murray. That's something he could have done when we didn't have any offensive power at all. That's something Arvy could have done. So I'm just saying, I love your show, and I agree with you a lot, but I think on this particular thing, I think, hey, you obsess hard.
Well, do you not think that the decision you make on Arvidsson is a big deal? Because how is it not a big deal? He had 31 goals this year. He's going to want $4 million a year. He's going to want $5 million. And if you pay him $5 million, you got $24 million right now in cap space by whatever the website, SportTrack, that does some of these things. You've got $24 million in cap space. Okay, that's great. But what's going to happen? Right now, you're paying Cal Yarncroke $2 million, and you're paying... What's going to happen when you owe Johansson $7 million a year? Because right now, Rene makes $7 million, Subban makes $9 million. So then you're going to give Forsberg $6 million. Let's say you give Johansson $7 million. Let's say Fiala develops into this great goal scorer that they think he's going to be. So now he's going to want, when he comes up, he's going to want $4 or $5 million a year. And now that $24 million, you look at it and you say, well, now you're squeezed almost to the cap. Then what do you do? And I feel like right now it's not a big problem, but if you sign a guy to a $5 million contract or a five-year contract at $5 million per in 4 years, it might be a huge problem. So those are the things that a GM can't just worry about right now. He can't worry about next year. The GM's got to think about down the road and what's going to happen when all these great players you think are great. Everyone loves your Ellis and Ekholm contracts. You do realize eventually those run out. So eventually you'll have to re-sign them. That's where you have to figure out what you're going to do with Arvidsson, and you can't have that Arvidsson contract be something where you look at it and say, oof, should have never done that one. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Jared the GM, ESPN 1025 The Game, live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. We were discussing in the break the Predators' salary cap situation. They've got cap space, and that's great. But this is one thing, Floyd, I think you'll point out, that when you're a good team and you start winning, all of a sudden the cap space you have goes away. The Jacksonville Jags and the Cleveland Browns always have the most cap space in the NFL. The Patriots never have any, although this year they had some.
Two things happen. One, the value of your players increases in the eyes of the league, so that a guy like
Gaudreau.
Harvey, let's talk about Harvey. We were talking about him before. If you're in some other team in some other city, you look at that and you think, okay, here's a young guy just scored 30 goals. This guy's going to score 30 goals for the next 10 years. And he's worth whatever amount you want to throw out there in their mind. Now, once you get him into camp, you may find out he's not really quite that good. But because he was just at the Stanley Cup and he scored 30 goals and he on and on. The other thing is, if you decide to keep all these guys are going to cost you more than you think, because they've been to the Stanley Cup also. And that carries a little clout. Everything gets more expensive. Everything gets harder. The value of players increases.
Colin Wilson this past year. Colin Wilson is going to make $3.9 million next year. He got you 12 goals and 23 assists. Craig Smith, who cost $4.2 million, got you 12 goals and 17 assists. So 12 and 23 for Wilson, 12 and 17 for Smith. Sorry, that's not good enough. And it's not a big deal right now because you're not near the cap. So no one looks at that $8 million and says, man, that's $8 million. That's a waste. But if you're trying to win the cup and Roman Josi is 32 years old and he comes up for a new contract, and Ellis, who's got three more years on his contract, comes up, and Ekholm, who's got, I think, what, four more years on his contract or three more years on his contract, he comes up, and you're stuck at Arvidsson at $5 million a year because you signed it 4 years ago when he had a 30-goal season and he's not a 30-goal scorer, you're in trouble. And that's why David Poyle's got to know better than anybody else. And the other thing, too, is if you're good, your draft picks are not as good as they are when you're bad. So if you're good, you're not going to be able to draft to replenish your farm system as much as possible. And that's where another thing like trading an established guy and selling high on an Arvidsson, or trading something like, because no one's going to give you anything for Colin Wilson or Craig Smith. So you trade an Arvidsson right now, you get prospects into the system, and maybe they become superstars. You get draft picks. I'm not saying they should do it. I'm just saying David Poyle's got to know what Victor Arvidsson's true value to the team will be when he signs him to a contract.
And I have to say this now. I don't think I've heard anyone say anything bad about Arvey.
No, not at all.
I mean, not one bad syllable. So, I mean, they love him. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, I'm not knocking that at all.
I know.
But it's just the reality of,
yeah.
And nobody said anything bad about Steve McNair, but at some point you had to cut Steve McNair.
Right.
So that's, you know, this is, it's a business. Let's go back to your phone, 615-737-1025. Randy is up next. Randy, thank you for calling. What's up?
Oh, not much. Hey, I just want to tell Floyd, hey, Floyd, it's little Haas. You know, Haas' son.
What?
And,
say again?
I just want to talk to about Colin Wilson. Like you said, I think Colin Wilson needs to go. He played one game until the final two, three games in the finals. And I think he needs to go. I think Weber will go. And I think
– well, they just signed Yannick Weber to a new contract, so I think he's staying.
Okay. All
but
right. Well,
I appreciate your call,
Randy. Is this Lil Haas?
Yes.
Lil Haas, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Hey, say hi to your dad for me.
I will.
All right.
Appreciate the call, Randy. Okay. I don't really know what happened there, but I'm just going to go with the flow. To Colin Wilson.
Us is the
equipment man for the Titans.
Yeah. Great guy.
Perfect. Okay. So, to the point about Colin Wilson, I'm in total agreement with the caller. I'm done with Colin Wilson. You guys can have him. Floyd, you want Colin Wilson?
I think I'll pass.
Ian, you can have Colin Wilson. We don't. You do you want him?
Do I get playoff Colin Wilson? Last year playoff Colin
Wilson? I was
going to
say.
You get
Colin Wilson.
You get the $4 million Wilson.
Our one thing with Colin Wilson was.
Castaway Wilson?
Our one thing with Colin Wilson was, hey, Colin Wilson, you don't have to play in the regular season, but if you show up in the playoffs, that's great. And he didn't do that this year. And I was kind of waiting for it, too. Like, I was waiting for playoff Colin Wilson to show up. So, look, Colin Wilson may go to Vegas next year and be a star, or he may go somewhere else. You guys can have him.
Well, you know what happens.
You take him. I don't want
him. And I used to tell players and coaches this same way. You know what? He may leave here and go to, let's say he goes to Las Vegas, and he may score 30 goals a year for the next 10 years. But he's not here. And that's all that matters to me. That's for whatever reason, it's not happening here. And so good luck to you. I understand that. And, you know, maybe it's the system. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's the coaches. Maybe it's whatever. But
Then why in the contract year, when the same system, were you a 20-goal, 20-assist guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's worth asking. To me, hey, Vegas. What's up, Vegas? Would you like Colin Wilson? I kind of feel the same way about Craig Smith. Colin Wilson in 2014-2015, 20 goals, 22 assists. Craig Smith, 23 goals, 21 assists.
And they got $4 million contracts when?
After that year.
What year was that?
2015,
and this is 2017?
Yes.
For a guy that scored 30 goals? Uh-oh.
Wait a minute, what's your point?
My point is, if they got $4 million for scoring 20 goals 2 years ago, the price for 30 goals
for
in
Arvidsson?
2017 has gone up.
Well, see, that's why, like, someone was texting me today going, I think that they can get Arvidsson for $3.5 million. I go, a first-line player on the Western Conference champion scored 31 goals. You think he's going to be okay with $3.5 million?
I don't think he will.
But hey, if you had gone to Arvy before the season and said, hey, Arvy, we want to sign you to a 5-year, $2 million a year contract, Arvy would have taken that in a second.
Yeah.
But guess what? You didn't. Yeah. And so now, Arvy's a 31-goal scorer. Arvy's going to want to get paid.
And
if I'm Arvy, I'm with you, Arvy. You get paid. You go, girlfriend.
And the hard part is, if you, for whatever reason, don't get a deal done and he plays next year and he scores 35 goals, then, you know, it goes from $4 million to $8 million. And now you're really in a bind.
I was going to say, do you go long term or do you do what they call the bridge deal, where you go, you know, yeah, Arvy's really only had that one good year so far this year in the league. Do you do a prove it year or two? And if he goes 2 years, then, you know, take a gamble. And if he crushes it, then you're going to owe him more. But if he kind of goes back to 20 or 25, maybe you can work something out. The bridge deals, I don't know.
It's all about buying high or you know, right now, if you sign him to a big contract, you're buying high because this is clearly better than anybody thought he would do. And that's why David's got to know how good he is. You know, we talk about the bridge contracts. When's the last time the Preds went the route of doing the bridge contracts? Weber and Suter. They did it with Weber and Suter. And how did that work out for you? You know, that was...
Got hammered in both of those, right?
I mean, really. You know, that's why I said David Boyle's got to know. Jared the GM, coming up next, it's great, but how much does it matter? I think something that was kind of overlooked during the Preds playoff run, we'll get to that, as today is kind of our looking forward with the Predators and where they go from here and all these things, we'll get to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.